One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Kia ora everybody, I'm Jordan, host of the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast. It's my hope that you find support and comfort in these stories, and I'm really looking forward to bringing you today's episode. Just a reminder before we get started that these are personal experiences and you should always seek medical advice before making any important decisions. I'm not an advocate for any particular model of birth or birth care, and this is simply a platform to share these empowering Kiwi birth tales with you all.
This episode of Kiwi Birth Tales is proudly brought to you by Your Birth Project, which is my online hypnobirthing course, and I would really love for you to go and check the course out. Basically, what we cover in the course is a series of comfort methods and different techniques that you can use in any type of birth that will help you through breathing and give you, different ways that you can feel really comfortable and manage your pain during your labor. It's inclusive of all types of birth, so it doesn't matter what kind of birth that you're planning, it'll still have a tip or technique that you'll be able to use. And there are some really lovely testimonials from mums who have used Your Birth Project and also from their birth partners on the Your Birth Project Instagram or on the website, so I will pop that in the show notes. I really want for all of you to feel confident and empowered going into your birth. So if you're feeling anxious or nervous about an upcoming birth, it doesn't matter what stage of your pregnancy you're in, you can absolutely do the Your Birth Project course and take those techniques, implement them in your labor, and feel really good and confident making informed decisions and choices and bringing your beautiful baby into the world. So I'm really excited to share Your Birth Project with you again as a sponsor of the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast, and I would love for you to show some support to that course, so thank you. In this week's episode, I speak with Charlotte about the birth of her beautiful baby, Imani, and Charlotte takes us through about 6 months of trying to fall pregnant and then actually having a missed miscarriage and finding out around 6 to 8 weeks that she had unfortunately lost that pregnancy. So she talks us through what that experience was like and sort of how that made them feel, and then also takes us through falling pregnant really quickly again when they weren't really trying, and what that was like, so how they managed their sort of emotions and feelings towards that pregnancy and what their pregnancy journey was like. She then takes us through into her labor, which ended up being an induction because she had low levels of fluid, and she was advised to have an induction, which they ended up deciding to do. And Charlotte talks us through her labor process and into her birth, and then she does a really awesome job of explaining what it's been like the last few weeks as a new mum with breastfeeding and hormone changes and emotions, and it's just a really lovely episode. So I hope you love it as much as I do. I'll stop talking now. Let's jump into the episode. Hey, Charlotte, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about you and who's in your family?
Absolutely. So my name's Charlotte. I'm married to my husband, Rob. We've been married since January 2019, and we've got two cats. We've got Baloo and Kobe, and now we have little Imani.
Yeah, awesome. Very cool. And what part of New Zealand are you guys based in?
So we're currently living in Pokeno at the moment. We used to live in Pukekohe. That's where we bought our first home. And now we've just moved into our very first family home and just loving it.
Awesome. Very cool. And what was the journey like to pregnancy for you guys?
So it was definitely a planned journey. But it, like for us, I did feel like it took a while, although definitely aware that in the grand scheme of things and for other people trying, it probably didn't take too long. But so I came off the pill in around June last year, and we just obviously kept trying each month and nothing was happening, no luck. So we finally fell pregnant in November last year after about 6 or 7 months trying.
Yeah.
and it was really incredible. We were both very, very excited. And then it was about 6 weeks, I noticed some early spotting when I went to the toilet. And then so we went and got a scan and everything seemed fine at the moment, but it was still very early days. So the lady scanning us basically said we needed to book in another appointment for 2 weeks' time, which we did. And we went back, and that was unfortunately when we found out that there was no heartbeat. So we had had a missed miscarriage, which for those who are unaware, basically it's when you miscarry but your body doesn't pick up on the fact that you've miscarried. So as opposed to passing the miscarriage out, I had to have it medically managed, which meant I had to have it removed, which was really hard and disappointing, and especially because it was our first time and, like, obviously our first time trying. But the process was really, like, obviously it's going to be professional and that sort of thing, but it was a good process for us. We felt, it's quite hard to explain. Like, we felt like it was efficient, and, you know, like, it wasn't a lot of, like, hanging around, that sort of thing. So from the day we found out, we had the medical management within, like, 2 days. So, I wasn't, like, hanging around for, like, days or weeks on end at home with it basically inside me. So that was very, like, disappointing for us. But then we were advised that, you know, to wait sort of like a cycle to start trying again, which we were happy to do. And then we kind of just, like, carried on and obviously jumped back on the horse pretty quickly. More so just for fun. And then it was about probably 3 or 4 weeks later that, much to our surprise, we turned out a positive pregnancy test again. Wow. So, yeah.
Yeah, and how were you sort of feeling? I know, like, obviously you'd have all of these emotions from your miscarriage and then finding out that you were pregnant when you probably weren't really trying, or maybe you didn't expect it to happen so soon. How did you feel at the start of that pregnancy and finding out that you were pregnant?
Yeah, absolutely. It was, like, such a surprise for it to happen so quickly, but, like, we were so excited that for the fact that it did, because we felt like we had waited such a long time for the first time to happen, and then to be, like, met with such disappointment, and then for it to happen so quickly again, it was just awesome. But it came with a lot of, like, anxiety, because that wait from, you know, like, when you first find out to when you have that first early dating scan where all you want to do is hear a heartbeat and see a heartbeat. So that was, like, super nerve-wracking. And the fact that I'd picked up on the pregnancy test pretty early on, when we did fall pregnant again, I think it was only around about 4 weeks pregnant probably. So that four-week wait to the early dating scan was felt like forever.
Yeah.
And when we went in and had the scan, on my tracking app that I was using, Flow, showed that I was probably around 7 weeks, 2 days. And when I had the scan, it bumped me forward to 8 weeks, 4 days. So to finally get over that 8 week mark, see and hear the heartbeat, was just, like, incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. And how were you feeling? Did you have many early symptoms in that pregnancy?
The only symptoms I actually had was just, like, really tender boobs.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, that was the only indicator that I was pregnant, basically. And if I didn't have that, and I wasn't trying, then I definitely would have gone under the radar, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And what was the rest of your pregnancy experience like? Did you have a midwife and choose to do sort of all the standard testing that's offered in New Zealand?
Yeah. So just all the, so we did go for an LMC, so a midwife, and she was great. She was incredible. We got a younger midwife because Rob and I both sort of wanted to have, I mean, I know they're all super experienced and, you know, like great in their own ways, but we wanted someone young who was what we thought would be fresh and up to date with all the new ways of doing things and that sort of thing. And so, yeah, that's why we chose ours. And in terms of all the testing, we just did what was on offer for us. Just the standard blood tests. We didn't do any of the NIPT tests or that sort of thing early on because the blood test results came back with really low risk. So we didn't see the need to go in and do any further testing.
Awesome. And did you find out the sex of your baby?
Yes, absolutely. The OCD in me would not have gone on any longer. Right. You just have to, like, for the planning, like the, you know, like I was just, one of the most exciting things I was looking forward to was just like being able to buy clothes and do up her room. So if I hadn't have known the sex, that would have made my life very difficult.
And did you have a guess? Did you feel like it was a boy or a girl?
I kind of felt like it was a girl, probably like at about 17 weeks. And my midwife had kind of led on that, like girls' heartbeats are generally like really fast compared to boys. And her heartbeat was always around about 175 every time. So after her saying that, and then just like the old wives' tales, you know, like, do you have acne or, you know, like, are you moody or happy, those sorts of things. Majority of mine did lean towards a girl, so kind of had a feeling. But again, like, you never really know, do you?
For sure.
Did you pick yours with
Gosh, no, I thought I was having a girl. We did the NIP test, but I was convinced that we were having a girl. And then, I was very surprised when it was a boy.
Your gut instinct was wrong.
Very wrong. Awesome. And did you do any antenatal classes or birth education or anything like that in the lead up to your labour and birth?
Yeah, we did. We opted for an online antenatal class. We did it through the O Baby magazine. It's called Practical Parenting Course. So it's just a new one that they've brought out. And so we did that, and it was great because it meant that, you know, like, we could do it whenever we wanted. And with, especially with like COVID, and that sort of in the peak of everything, it was good because we wouldn't really have been able to get out and do like a face-to-face class anyway. But we were still doing classes right up until like 37 weeks, I think. So cracking away at it at our own very slow pace. But like, again, it was great to be able to have that option.
Awesome. And did you have many thoughts on how you wanted your birth to go, much of a birth plan or sort of any ideas there?
Not really. I kind of just knew that, like, especially with it being my first, like, I had no idea what to expect with birth. Therefore, I was like, I have no idea what to expect with how it's going to go down. So I was more than willing just to go with the flow and take it as it comes, and like, whatever will be, will be. I did sort of like plan to be open to going as far as I could without getting an epidural. But then I was like, definitely keen to get it if I needed, like, I wasn't opposed to it at all. I turned out having to be induced, so any plans I would have made would have gone out the window anyway.
And so did you end up going into the hospital to be induced? Do you want to take us through sort of how that journey came about and anything that you did in preparation for that?
So around about 37 weeks, like, my midwife had always said, you know, if your baby's movements start to feel different or if they start to change, then obviously let me know. And at about 37 weeks, they had, for me, they had felt like they'd decreased in intensity quite significantly. Yeah. So I brought that up with her, and basically she got me in that day for a CTG scan, which is, if those that aren't aware, probably are aware by now, but it's basically where they just track the baby's movements and then also track the heart rate in response to the movements. So anyway, long story short with that is that her movements were fine along with her heart rate. And so they sent me home. And then the following week, I sort of said to my midwife again, you know, like, things haven't really improved. I still feel like her movements are less intense, and they're also feeling like they're not as frequent. So again, I went in for another CTG, and that scan was kind of up and down, and the midwife who did that on me couldn't really get like a great picture of it. So she sent me up to Middlemore, and that's where I had like a more in-depth one, and then I had another ultrasound where they measured the amniotic fluid. Yeah. And then, long story short, the obstetrician who saw us at Middlemore sort of ran us through the risks and the pros and cons, and said basically, like, we think it's best if you get induced at 39 mm-hmm. weeks. And sort of would that, and that would have been a week later. So Rob and I sort of went home and talked about it and discussed it, and ended up deciding to agree on an induction. Yeah. And then, so that whole week, I swear I did everything in the book. Yeah. To try and get her to come naturally, because I was just like, oh man, like, I've waited this long to find out what the contractions are going to be like when they're brought on naturally, that sort of thing. And I just really did want that natural brought on experience. So I was eating all the dates, I was drinking all the raspberry leaf tea, I was having the evening primrose oil capsules, I started curb walking, I even had 3 stretch and sweeps like in that week. Everything to try and bring her on, but she just didn't want to come that way. So so it was, we went into the hospital for the induction at 39 weeks on the Sunday night.
Yeah, awesome. And did you do anything like perineal massage or anything like that in the lead up to your labor?
No, I had read about it, but I don't know, I just kind of felt weird about doing it. Kind of looking back, though, I sort of wish maybe I'd like dabbled in a little bit, because I did end up getting a tear in my perineum. But I mean, you never know, like, whether or not that would have helped. Yeah, so who knows?
Cool, awesome. And do you want to take us through the labor sort of induction process and those first few hours of labor, and then into your birth story?
Yeah, sure. So so basically when you're induced, they sort of tell you a time to go into the hospital. So we went up to Middlemore about 7:30 on the Sunday night, and at 8:30 it was, they gave me my first dose of the prostaglandin gel, which is supposed to stretch and soften out your cervix and prepare it and get it ready for labor. So they gave me that, and then they said, we'll come and check again in 6 hours and decide if you need to have another dose. So it's kind of just like a waiting game. So had that at 8:30, and then Rob and I tried to just like get some sleep and rest, and it was no problem for him, as any guy, they literally take like 2 seconds to fall asleep. So he was crashed out in the chair beside me. I was kind of like, my mind was elsewhere, like thinking of everything. And then at about 12:30, I think it was, I started to get the first mild period cramps. And they like slowly picked up. And it was about, I think it was like 1 or something. And I sort of went and woke Rob up and said, you know, like, honey, I think you need to wake up now. I think it's starting to happen. And he's sort of giving me weird looks and asking me why I was standing up like that, completely unaware what was about to happen, but that's okay. And then by 2:30, just before they came in to do the next assessment, it was all go, like it was on. And Rob's standing there holding my hand, like I was squeezing the crap out of it. Mm-hmm. And the lady came in and she did my assessment whilst I was contracting, and she broke my waters for me, and said I was a good 4 centimetres, which was good. And then after that, 3 o'clock, I was wheeled over from the like assessment side over to the birthing side. And by this point, I was chaffing away on the gas, probably a little bit too much, to be honest. Started to make my hands feel a bit funny. So it was about 3:20. I got the epidural, which, did you get an epidural?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
And they're like, you need to keep still, and you're like having a contraction, and you're just like, yeah. How the hell am I going to do this?
Yeah.
I got the epidural at 3:20, and that took about half an hour, I think, to kick in properly. I was still trying to go on the gas, waiting for that to kick in. And then once the epidural finally kicked in and my body was able to relax. So on the epidural pump, you know how they give you the pump to pump yourself, but it's on a 40-minute timer so you don't overdose? So yeah. I had one pump of it when it kicked in, and then that, obviously I could still feel things. And then Rob said as soon as he saw me hit the thing on the second time, it was a minute later, my heart rate dropped and baby's heart rate dropped hugely.
Mm.
So my body obviously just completely relaxed, and she flew down the birth canal.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden my midwife that was there with me, she said to my sister who was also in the room, she was like, oh, Hannah, can you please push the emergency button? real calmly. And so Hannah pushed the emergency button, and then about 10 different doctors came in. Lights were on full. There was hands up inside me. There was someone beside me running me through everything that was going on. And so what had happened is because, my body had just relaxed so quickly, I'd literally gone from 4 centimeters to 10 centimeters within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And she had flown down, she was ready to come out, and they'd lost her heart rate. They couldn't find it anymore. So they had to put the pin in. I don't think it's called a pin. That sounds horrible. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a
Is
little
it a clip on her head.
Yeah that's yeah. it. And yeah. so they insert that, they put that onto her head so that they could directly monitor her heart rate as opposed to going through my stomach. They ended up getting her heart rate. Things started to stabilize, which was good because they were talking about an emergency cesarean, and then they were talking about von Tues, which I was no, in my head, I didn't really want either of those. It all sort of stabilized and calmed down, and all the doctors left the room and that sort of thing. And then at 5:30 something, my midwife was like, okay, we can probably start pushing now. And so, yeah, because obviously you've got no feeling, you can't really feel your contractions and when to push. It sort of just feels a little bit like pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite hard to pick up on when I should push, but basically we did four sets of 3 pushes, and she was out, came out at 5:56, and it just felt so easy and chill, and I'm honestly just so happy that I had the epidural, mm-hmm. because I think it would have been a very different experience if I hadn't.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, amazing. And did they pop her up onto your chest straight away?
Yeah, they tried to. So because of the speed that she came out of, my midwife even almost missed her coming out. And I still had all the blankets on, I had hospital gown on me, and then this other feet, and then I still had the stomach clips on. And so, like, she came out, and then one of the other midwives from Middlemore was like trying to like pull everything off really quickly. So eventually she did get straight skin to skin, but it wasn't as quick as probably we all would have hoped.
Yeah. And did she latch on okay in that first little while?
No, her latching in the beginning wasn't great.
Yeah.
she wasn't keen. And I mean, that's really good that I had antenatally expressed colostrum.
Yeah.
So I had my syringes ready, and she went after like a good hour with me, just skin to skin. She then had her first feed with her dad with some colostrum. So that was good. Yeah.
Yeah. And did you find that quite hard, the antenatal expressing, or did you sort of get quite a bit of colostrum? What did you find that was like?
It was quite weird in the beginning, but then I think once you got the hang of it, like, it just, like, flowed out pretty easy. And I watched a really good Instagram video on the Haka page, and they kind of shot it with, like, a little beanbag.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah, that technique. And, like, that is literally just the technique that you need. So when I saw that, that was about when I was starting to antenatally express as well. So I just watched that, and then, it just caught on.
Yeah, I wish I'd seen a video like that, because I was doing it all wrong and I couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting any. And I actually, Jai really needed it when he was born, but I didn't have any. So, yeah, I think that's a good video. I'll share it in the show notes for sure.
Because it is totally about technique, hey? Like,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and, like, I spoke to a friend about it as well once I'd given birth, and she, like, she said she'd struggled with it as well, but she was like, oh, you know, like, didn't realise how, like, firm and like the technique that you actually need to do it.
So
it was a good video.
Awesome. Cool. And what sort of happened from there? Did they need to stitch you up? I know you mentioned earlier that you had a tear, so what were the next few hours like?
So the obstetrician, I think she was an obstetrician, she was like dressed up in her scrubs. So she came in and was like assessing everything, because obviously because the little the scare that we had in the labor, and then she was just sort of assessing my tears, and said that I had one that was quite deep. It was really short in my perineum, but it was quite deep, so she just wanted to make sure that it hadn't like gone down any further, like back towards the back passage. But she said that was fine, and so she stitched that up, and then there was like a really tiny one a bit further up, and dealt with those. And then it was like the next issue was getting my placenta out. It just didn't want to come. So it had been like over an hour, and they're supposed to sort of come within the first hour. Mine still hadn't come, so they put me on the hormone drips and Tocinin, I think it's called, to try and assist, and still nothing. And then so the obstetrician was sort of like came in and was talking about how she was saying to me, we may have to go to theatre to get it removed. Again, I was like, no, I just want to be with my baby. And then she sort of just like fiddled around and pushed on my uterus quite a bit. And then, it came out. So that was a good result in the end.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. And how long did you end up spending in the hospital before you went home?
So Imani was born at like 5 to 6, and I think we left the hospital at like 11:30 that morning.
Yeah.
And then we were booked in, well, we were registered to go to birth care in Parnell, because my husband and I didn't like the idea that we kind of had, because the birth care that we were registered with was like Pukekohe birthing unit, because it's out where we live, but the partner can't stay at that one. So we had wanted to stay together, so we had registered to go to Parnell, but they had like the midwife, the people who worked there on the phone had said that it was almost like everyone in Auckland had decided to birth overnight. So all their rooms were full, so we couldn't get the room that we wanted. So we just decided to go back to Pukekohe. I stayed there for 2 nights, and that was obviously just by myself at night. So Rob would come during the day, but kind of looking back on it now, like it would have been real hectic for him, because like it was so hectic for me. Imani cluster fed right from that first night till like night four. And like that first night, I just remember feeling so exhausted. I hadn't slept at all since before the induction. Even to the point where like it was some godly unknown hour in the middle of the night, and I just couldn't settle her. And it was just all so much. And the midwife sort of offered, she said, you know, would you like me to take her for half an hour just to give you some time to sleep? And I, you know, like, and I felt really guilty, but at the same time, there was a voice in my head saying, just like, just say yes and accept the help. And I did. I said, yeah, that would be really good. Thank you. So she took her away from the room, and it had been about 20 minutes of me lying there with my eyes closed, not sleeping, but just like trying to mentally rest until I ended up calling her on the buzzer again and said, I can't sleep without her here with me. Can you please just bring her back? So she brought her back and she was fast asleep. And I, like, obviously I was so thankful that she'd managed to go to get her to go to sleep. But at the same time, I wish that had been me sleeping. But yeah, like, it's just so hard that first night, and I'm so glad I was there to have the midwives on call. It made a huge difference.
It does make a big difference, doesn't it? Just having that extra help that you just wouldn't get at home. It's really helpful.
I don't know how people like could just go home. And it's a really weird concept, like, that you just give birth and then you go to like a birthing unit or you go home or whatever, and it's kind of just like, here's your baby, now you're a mum. And you're like, I don't actually know what I'm doing. Like, I, first of all, I don't know what day of the week it is, like, or what my name is. Then like, how did you become?
For sure. And how did you find leaving there and going home? And obviously then you are pretty much on your own in terms of the support that you were getting previously. So how did you find that change, and did you notice any of the baby blues or any sort of hormonal shifts in that period?
So going home was like, it was awesome to be able to come home. I had my mum and dad up from Invercargill staying with us, and my sister obviously was like in and out because she lives in Auckland, so she was coming and staying with us too. So we had that support in terms of, you know, like, mum was so amazing. She was making sure like we had meals and we were well looked after and that side of things, doing all the washing. So then it just left time for Rob and I just to try and navigate parenthood at home, like, you know, for ourselves. But I think we managed it okay. I remember the first night at home, because it was obviously night three cluster feeding, and Rob was up and down, and I remember Rob saying to me, he was like, I am so sorry you had to experience this by yourself. He was just like completely gobsmacked. He was like, what even is this? Like, how on earth have you been doing this? So that was, I guess, good in a way for him to see, you know, what it's been like and what it's probably going to be like for a few nights. And it was like day five, that's when I got my baby blues, and boy, I got them good. Like, my milk had just come in real hot, and I remember my boobs just being so big and so hard and so full, and they were just to the point they were just so sore. And I remember sitting on the couch in the middle of the day just feeding Imani, and my cat Baloo came in, and I remember just looking at him and then just bursting into tears in front of everyone. They're like, what's wrong? And I was like, I can't even pick Baloo up to cuddle him. Like, just the most stupid thing ever, crying because I couldn't pick my cat up. Like, there's more important things in life, Charlotte. It was just ridiculous. And then, so that sort of set me off in the afternoon, and then the blues really continued, like, into the night, where I was just, like, at a point where I was, like, I don't even want to breastfeed anymore. This is too sore. My boobs hurt. Like, I just wanted to chuck in the towel. And, like, I honestly did. I felt really down. I said to my mum, like, is this what postnatal depression's like, you know, like, do I have it? And she was like, don't be silly, hun. Like, you know, you just, this is the baby blues and it's totally normal, yeah. You know, like you're allowed to feel like this. And just that type of reassurance as well I had from mum and my husband was good, because I woke up the next morning feeling completely fine.
Yeah.
Like, it was literally just like it's like a 24-hour bug. Mm. And yeah, so yeah, experienced that, and you know, like went on the roller coaster of that and came out the other side. So for any first time mums to be, like it definitely comes in hard, but it leaves just as quick.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Awesome. And how have you found breastfeeding since then? Obviously super painful. I can remember that same feeling of having, it's almost like you've got hot boobs because they're just so freaking sore and full of milk on that first day. I feel you. So how did you go, or how are you going with your breastfeeding from then?
It's been up and down, definitely. Like it's a weird, unusual thing, breastfeeding.
Yeah.
Like I've definitely grown to enjoy it, and I do love it, like, but it's hard.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it's, yeah, I don't know, like before I had baby, like I kind of was sort of, you know, like, oh, I'm not really sure if I want to breastfeed, or you know, like I don't think I'll do it for that long. But then now that I'm doing it, I do love it. And I love that she depends on me for it. But it's been hard because she had a tongue and a lip tie.
Yeah.
So they were quite tight and they weren't affecting her feeding. So she constantly gained weight. She never lost any from like her weigh-ins. And then what are we now? We're Tuesday. So on Friday she heard her tongue and lip tie water lasered because they were both really tight. And whilst they're not affecting her feeding now, like they could down the line. And like, yeah, my husband and I, we just went through all the pros and cons and decided to go with it. And then since then, she has struggled to relatch like deeply and well. Mm. So like I'm assuming it's because her mouth's sore, because it looks quite sore, but and then like she's just trying to get used to the new movement in her mouth as well, which is a bit difficult. We've had a couple of really bad days and she lost weight in the weekend, but we had another weigh-in today and she's put back on 240 grams.
Oh, good
so
girl.
Things are definitely on that. Yeah.
And are you working with a lactation consultant or anything like that?
No, but I think if things continue to be like up and down, then I'm definitely going to consider getting one, because it's such a special bonding time, and like my views on it have definitely changed, and I want to be able to try and feed her sort of, you know, like for at least a little bit longer.
Awesome, cool. And what about your physical recovery? Have you found any sort of products, or have you done anything that have helped with your physical recovery from birth and with your tear, or what have you found that like?
So right from the beginning, I used my Viva La Volva pack, and I know you've mentioned these guys on your podcast before. Honestly, life-changing. Like the peri bottle that you use from the get-go, like that you tip upside down, and so you basically just have like water to spray downstairs when you're weeing, so it stops it hurting. So I used that like every single time I went to the toilet, which was a godsend. And then since then, and since like my stitches have started to heal, I've been using the drops, so the Relieve and Reduce and the Soothe and Heal, and I've been finding them really nice and relieving, and just like putting a drop here and there on a pad or in the little spray bottle and spraying it on. And like, what am I now? I'm just like 2 weeks post birth. My stitches have completely like, well, pretty much healed. I'm out walking every day. And yeah, like no issues. So really recommend that product.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And what about your sort of mental adjustment and sort of emotional recovery, I guess, from birth and that first like week or so of trying to adjust to being a mum? And I know it's a constant adjustment. I still feel like I'm adjusting, and Jai's almost 11 months old. how have you found that sort of mental side of things?
I've found it good on a whole, but it certainly has been challenging. I guess there's a lot of self-doubt in it as well, which sort of I didn't really expect, like, especially with the whole breastfeeding thing. And I feel like even though there'll be times where, you know, like she's sleeping and everyone's like, oh, sleep when she sleeps, but I feel like my mind never relaxes. Mm. I'm always thinking about when's the next time she's due for a feed or when's she due for this and that. And then it's like all the other stuff in between as well. Like, when am I going to eat myself? Yeah. When am I going to do my exercise? Yeah. When's her washing? You know, like all that sort of stuff. So I know it'll get easier and I know it'll get better, but still just trying to take each day as it comes and just slowly build on, you know, like the day before and just ticking off those small wins, I guess.
Yeah, it's important. It's sort of in those early months, it's just you really are getting to know each other and finding your feet and finding your new sort of normal. So, yeah, I definitely can appreciate what you mean by that, because it's not easy, and each day is so different. You might have a really great day and then the next day is so shit and it's just like, what the hell is going on? So yeah, I get it.
Yeah definitely. Like, I don't think there would be anyone out there that can just like jump into it and just like feel like they're acing it.
Yeah,
like, and if they do, throw at me because I need to know what you're doing.
yeah Awesome, cool. And is there anything else that you'd like to share in regards to your pregnancy or birth story or anything postpartum before we close up?
So we obviously had our miscarriage beforehand. One thing I sort of did with that first pregnancy was obsess a lot over like what I was eating and what I like in terms of what I was allowed to be eating, I should say. You know, like, are you allowed this when you're pregnant? Are you allowed that? And like always looking off my app and all that sort of thing. Whereas when I got pregnant with Imani, I decided just to chill, relax, and just like go with the flow a lot more. And obviously just stay away from the main things, which is basically just common sense. And I felt that really relaxed me, because it was a very anxious time, especially falling pregnant so quickly after a miscarriage. But I think, and I've said to, you know, like a few ladies in my Instagram community as well that have experienced it, that you just need to relax and trust your body, that your body knows what it's doing. And like the rest is out of your control. So if you just, relax and take everything outside of it, then you'll be fine.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. And thank you so much, Charlotte, for coming on the podcast and sharing your story with us. It's such a lovely one. And yeah, I really appreciate you sharing everything that you have. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Jordan. No worries. I love listening to your podcast and I've loved talking to you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. I hope that you have loved it. Charlotte is so lovely and it was really nice to chat with her. So yeah, I hope you've enjoyed her interview. Another reminder that this episode is sponsored by Your Birth Project. So if you're feeling a little bit anxious about a birth that you've got coming up, or you want to resolve some feelings from your previous birth, or you just want to learn some new techniques that you can use in your birth, then Your Birth Project is an awesome online hypnobirthing option, and it's so inclusive of all different types of births. So I would love for you to go and check that out. I will put the link in the show notes, but it's at Your Birth Project on Instagram or www.yourbirthproject.com. Looking forward to talking to you all next week and bringing you another awesome Kiwi Birth Tales episode. And yeah, happy birthday to Kiwi Birth Tales.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.